Welcome to Remember 64, where this week we're learning our ABCs and our 1, 2, 3s. Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is David Petrangelo, and I really, really want to play one of the most iconic and most nostalgic opening themes ever on this episode. But then I'm very scared that we're just going to get dinged with a copyright claim. So instead, you get this. And then I'll stop there in case that also creates a claim. Jiggy Look Back is here with me. Hello.
Jiggy Look to Count Numbers.
Yeah, he does. Well, if any of that makes any sense to you whatsoever, maybe you got it from the theme. Maybe you got it from that amazing impression right there. But this time we are talking about Elmo's Number Journey and Elmo's Letter Adventure. And what a perfect time. If you're listening to this when this episode comes out in 2024 in March, what better way than to bring school to you while you're on March or spring break? Come on. That's just what this is about. Yeah, we're here to bring us some school. You don't have to do homework. We did it for you, but we're going to tell you all about it and what it all means. So that's what we're covering today. That's going to be the double header, two games that we're covering. I think this was something that we had on our to-do list, on our check boxes for a little while. And we kind of landed on it because we're like, we kind of need something shorter this time around. Let's find something short. And this was one of the shortest ones that popped up. So here we are.
Oh, we're here. I can't believe it. I can't believe the day has finally come that we get to tackle both of these games, these mythical games that I've seen growing up so many times and never, like, so many garage sales, I've always seen Elmo involved. It's always been super cheap. Never picked it up because obviously this is going to be terrible. But been so curious as to A, how they actually play, because I've never watched anything about them. B, are they actually terrible? Is there any redeeming qualities? I actually would argue there is. But we'll get into that.
Yes, we will. Absolutely. So actually, that's one of the first things I want to talk about is because you're several years younger than me, there's a little bit of a time difference of what Sesame Street means to both of us, right? Sure. So it's not even necessarily directly related to this game, but it is a little bit. Like you said, you saw these games sort of maybe come across your peripheral around the time that they came out. They both came out in 1999. That's the year that these came out. But Sesame Street for me was in my back mirror by that point. Like it was, for me, it's early 90s. And, you know, first couple years of the 80s after I was born kind of thing. So basically by the time the N64 came around, I was out of my Sesame Street phase. That's it. So I only know these exist because as I got older, I just was more aware of games that came out around that time. But I don't think this ever crossed my view at all in 98, 99 or 2000 or anywhere around there. But for you, how did you grow up with Sesame Street? Because for me, it was a huge part of me growing up. I mean, I probably just had less TV available. I lived kind of in the middle of nowhere and we had like four channels when I was young. And this is one of those go-tos. My parents tell me that I was glued to the TV when Sesame Street came on. I was that kid. I do remember watching it, but not that intently because I was, you know, 3 years old or 2 years old or something, right? But you know, there was no Dora, there was no SpongeBob, there was no Bluey. It was Sesame Street. That's what I had. Mm-hmm. So that was my version of it. And, like I said, games like this just were not in my wheelhouse at this time based on age. So what about you?
Well, first thing I want to say is that one of those shows you mentioned is not like the others and that is SpongeBob. That
I know.
Is not at all.
I know.
But I know what you meant, but I was like, okay.
I would say early SpongeBob is much more quote unquote, not child friendly because they're all kind of you know, can be for kids, but like earlier ones that I remember, at least watching the first couple seasons, like when I was younger, or they don't have as many like inside jokes, if that makes sense, or culturally relevant jokes, you know, stuff like that. But again, that's my experience with SpongeBob is when it first started, not, you know, even 5, 6, 10 years ago. It was like early 2000s. Well,
I remember when SpongeBob first started.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was there. I watched the first couple episodes and I remember thinking this is weird.
Yes,
but liking it, you know, just the whole concept. I was old enough to think it was weird. I probably would have been like 6, maybe.
Yeah. So then I would have been, yeah, I would have been at least over 10 by that point when it debuted. So, but yeah, so Sesame Street is one of the longest running shows.
Yeah.
Sesame Street is one of the longest running TV shows, programs of any kind in the history of TV. So do you have experience with it, or had you had experience with it?
Minimal.
Okay.
So growing up, like as a kid, I had Barney the Dinosaur was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I had Bananas in Pajamas.
Yes, I remember that.
That was another one I loved.
Yep.
And Blue's Clues was really like when I was a kid, Blue's Clues was in its heyday, and that was arguably my favorite show. Sesame Street existed, but I didn't really get into it. I must have watched enough to know the Elmo's World song, which I know came a little bit later. But I know the Elmo's World song. I may not know all the lyrics, but I know
it's recognizable to you, yeah.
Da-da, you know, and I remember that, and I remember the scribbles and everything. And but yeah. Sesame Street was never something that I sat there and actively watched. It was around. It was a thing. Yeah. I just didn't. It wasn't my thing. I liked other things more.
Yeah.
I think kind of the Muppet characters maybe just. I was kind of afraid of puppets as a kid, like puppets, ventriloquist dummies, like those kind of they creeped me out, and I had a fear of them. I wasn't like afraid of Sesame Street, but I think just that general, like, I didn't like puppets kind of pushed me away from it a little bit more, you know, just in case something creepy did show up.
Just in case Elmo's head popped off or someone came out of Elmo's mouth or something, you know, some weird thing. Yeah,
I'd be traumatized for life.
For life, of course.
But there is something to that. There is a sort of uncanny valley to Sesame Street, right?
For some characters, absolutely. Absolutely.
There is this creepy factor thing going on. Yeah,
I think based on the shows that you're saying that were pretty much your wheelhouse around the same age that I was watching Sesame Street, is why maybe Sesame Street wasn't at the forefront, right? Because those existed, right? Yeah. You had those choices, like Barney, huge for my cousins, my younger cousins, and my brother, and like, you know, Blue's Clues, same thing, 100%. That was in my family, my friends. Like, I know of those because they were just a few years behind me, kind of thing. So. Mm-hmm. Those existed. They didn't for me. So Sesame Street was one of those things. All kind of educational, you know, that sort of educational programming. So that's all part of it. I will say, you know what's
funny.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that, I said, like kind of afraid, like didn't really, wasn't my thing, but I love the Muppets. So what I said doesn't apply. These are basically Muppets, but I like
the actual
Muppets. I liked Kermit the Frog. I didn't like these guys.
Yeah, it's the same Henson. Yeah, it's Henson Company and Frank Oz and those guys, right? It's the same thing. So actually jumping off that same thing, if you have any experience with Sesame Street at all, even if it's minimal like you do, I highly, highly recommend the movie. I just looked up the exact title because it's a little bit of an odd title, but it kind of makes sense. Street Gang, How We Got to Sesame Street is the full title. That's a documentary that came out a couple of years ago. And it is how they made Sesame Street, how they conceptualized it, how they made it come to life, it basically tells the tale from like 1970 or whenever they first, or 68, something like that, when they first debuted it, how they came up with the ideas, how they executed everything up until about, I would say, the early 90s, mid 80s kind of thing. And just how they implemented curriculum, how they came up with the Muppet ideas and the characters, the voices, the people that were the characters and designed everything, wrote the songs, created these characters. Like, it is, and honestly, like, I sort of like look back at movies that I've watched at the end of a year, for 2021, when this came out, this was my favorite movie of that year. It was amazing, and it made me laugh. It made me cry. Just watch this movie. It's so, so heartwarming and so good. Yeah, I just highly recommend. I want more people to watch it. I want more of you. It's so great.
It comes from that era of public access television being a thing, and educational TV, and like Mr. Rogers is another good example of that.
Yep.
So I could understand Mr. Rogers. I never watched Mr. Rogers. I knew of it. I probably seen an episode or two. Didn't really watch that one either. That was maybe it was a little bit before me, or happened kind of ending
It was ending when I was starting to watch Sesame Street, essentially. Yeah.
Same vibe. Anytime you see any documentary or anything on it, or the movie with Tom Hanks, it's like,
yeah,
it's a bit emotional because they're just genuinely trying to do something good, and it's heartwarming.
Exactly. These games, you know, they're not that, but there's something there. There's something there. So, I kind of stepped on my own toes here, queuing up something, but this is almost like the perfect soundbite that I've been using since day one that applies so much to this episode. So bust out your history books, everybody.
I'm learning.
We're going back to November of 1999. And because we are learning and learning with Elmo, I'm going to do it again.
I'm learning.
Because I love it. I know it's The Simpsons, but too bad, everybody. You get it twice. Probably even more than that. Here's what I found with the description of this game and some info about the companies that made it, which I thought maybe it would be one of those games that has very minimal, you know, background. It's just, hey, it's Sesame Street. It's a kid's game. Let's just get somebody to license this and pump something out. It's a little bit of that. It's a little bit of that, you know, like so you get that with licensed games sometimes, I think, right? Yeah. Like, I think that's not, unfortunately, it's not that uncommon, especially in the 90s. It's just, let's get a name and slap the company on it and create anything. Power Rangers was a perfect example, I think, in some ways.
yeah, for sure.
So,
Oddly enough, I thought of Power Rangers when I was playing this game.
I did too. I think we're on the same
page. Oh my gosh. Okay, cool.
I think we're on the same page we'll see what point, but we'll get to that. Yeah. So this was published by New Kid Co. They acquired the rights for properties like Sesame Street, Dora the Explorer. They made games about that. They had Tom and Jerry games as well. Most of their games were rated E for everyone, which is very common for games like this, except one. A Tom and Jerry game that I don't know if you've seen this game. I looked it up. I was like, oh, I don't recognize this. It's called Tom and Jerry War of the Whiskers. And it came out for Xbox, PS2, and GameCube. And it's rated T for teen for excessive cartoon violence.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's, you know, you're going into the next generation of consoles and you could do more with it. And I guess, you know, it seems like it's very similar to the Tom and Jerry that's for N64, where you're kind of in a room and you battle each other. But maybe it's just, you know, you can see it all more, or it's just more graphically
pretty cool.
It does look cel-shaded. Yeah, it does look kind of cool. So very cool art style and everything. So that's the publisher that put this out there. They have pretty much all educational stuff that they put out there, or some version of a kid's cartoon or something like that. That's basically what it was. So it was also developed by Real Time Associates. I recognized the logo, but I had no idea what they were or who they were. It just popped up when I turned on the game. They were founded in 86 by ex-Mattel electronics employees. So these people were making little Mattel electronic toys or toys that involved electronics in them and stuff. And they said, you know what? We're going to start making games for Intellivision. That was their initial goal. That's their main.
Sounds like a great goal.
I know, right? That's cool. That's awesome. That's great. So they made a bunch of games across Intellivision, TurboGrafx, PC, Game Boy. And then now's my excuse to go down a little bit of a rabbit hole. People may have seen me post this online over the last couple of days, and I'm probably going to do something else about it too. If I haven't by the time this episode comes out, I probably will after. But here's my little bit of a rabbit hole, Jiggy.
Okay.
The most impressive thing I find personally that Real Time Associates made is create a few games in the early and mid 2000s. So like GameCube era, right?
Okay.
Or at least starting a GameCube era. They made games specifically for kids and families that are going through cancer treatment, and even staff of hospitals that work in those wards or in those areas of the hospitals. Research went into creating these games of like what they could do with it, how they can connect with these kids and these families and these staff. And it's called Remission. That's what it's called. Okay. And the description is the player controls Roxy, who is a nanobot that is designed to be injected in the human body and fight particular types of cancer and related infections like non-Hodgkin lymphoma and leukemia at the cellular level. So you are a character going through the human body, and they're basically teaching you how these medications and things like that would work in your body. And I'm like,
wow,
that's such a great idea. And on
it sounds like an episode of Magic School Bus.
Yeah. I mean, if Magic School Bus handled cancer, yes, that's what it would be. if they went to that level, but yes, they do that. They go in at least one of the episodes.
Bodies.
The bloodstream and everything. Yeah. There's one all about the white blood cells and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely. Also, perfect example of a show that I grew up with. That I absolutely love, Magic School Bus. That's great. On top of that, another reason why this is great is because there are 20 levels that they made. So it's not a small game. It's not like, hey, just here's a demo and go for it kind of thing. They distributed over 200,000 free copies of this. So
cool.
They brought it to hospitals. They gave it to families. They gave it to kids. They gave it to staff. And they did it through a nonprofit and distributed 200,000 discs that had these two or three games called Remission on it, and like Remission. And I'm like, you know what? That's awesome. You know, we just talked about a little bit of a heartwarming thing with some of these that's heartwarming to me. I love it. I had to mention that because I think that like they, again, similar to what like Sesame Street did just to get started, this company put research into it. They actually did studies in North America and Australia to find out the best ways to make this, you know, effective and all that. And I'm like, I love this stuff. I eat this stuff up. It's so, I'm such a sap, man. I'm such a sap. I love it. I
immediately think like it plays like Elmo's Letter Adventure.
Maybe it does.
You're in the bloodstream and it's like, grab the cancer. And it's like...
Grab three cancers. Oh my god. Now that you say that, I mean, even if it was, I don't know, even if it was, I just thought that was a cool little sort of side story. So
that's funny.
Anyways, that's basically
that a cool side story.
Yeah, it's a little sort of side note. Has nothing to do with Sesame Street or Elmo's Letter Adventure or Number Journey. Yeah, Number Journey. I always get them mixed up. Okay, that's our little sidetrack, our little bit of a development history. Let's talk about the game itself. I want to play a little bit of what it sounds like. How's that sound? We're going to try that. I'm going to try that.
Sounds perfect.
Sounds perfect. Okay, this is how I believe this is. Oh, is this Number Journey? I think this is
Number Journey.
Yeah, this is how this one starts.
Welcome to Sesame Street. Elmo's so happy to see you. You picked the perfect day to visit. Let's go look for some numbers. Those smell like the best cookies ever. Did Cookie Monster save one for Elmo?
No. But we can go to Cookie World to get more.
Cookie World sounds like fun.
Anyways, that's how it starts.
Oh my gosh.
It's excellent, isn't it? It's just so good.
It's so excellent.
So, let's talk about the games. Let's get into it. Two games here, one based on letters or spelling and the other one based on basic numbers. It is strictly a learning experience for younger kids. That's the gist of how this all works here. So, go for it, man. Would you start with? What'd you think? What was the, you know?
So I started with letter journey or letter adventure, whatever it is. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to get the titles mixed up like 20 times.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad. I just want to say I'm really glad we decided to do both of these at once.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was, you know, I was under the impression these were two totally separate games and they just made one later, you know?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But these are They honestly could be one game. They are the same. They have literally the same intro, except Elmo says he's looking for letters rather than numbers. That's literally the difference.
And two different characters that are on Sesame Street.
There's three characters in each game that you interact with, and two of them are different between the games. Ernie is in both games.
I don't understand that. I don't know why.
Cookie Monster and Grover replace each other, and Big Bird and the Count replace each other. And So starting with Letter Journey. Starting with Letter Journey, there's basically like, is it three different games?
So there's three in each. That's basically, that's what it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. But I'm wondering, I'm trying to remember if the Letter Journey, if two of them are the same or similar. Oh yeah. Okay. This reminds me. Okay. So in the Letter Journey, you have, when you talk to Ernie, you talk to each character and you get a mini game, right?
Yeah. And they give you a letter and they just give and you a letter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, find the letter Z, like it's happening right now on screen. And you talk to Ernie and you're scuba diving.
Yep.
And you just go in and you just move around and kind of navigate to a letter and press a button. Doesn't really matter what button.
Essentially, almost any face button, essentially. Like A, B, or
right
any of the
side of the controller. You press it, you're good. Yeah. And the hitbox for it is insane. You can be about, I would say, in the game, like 5 feet away from a number and hit the button.
You just have to be in the vicinity of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So they make it pretty easy. Mm-hmm. But my experience with this is, well, it works.
Yeah.
It's definitely geared toward little kids, so I can't complain. It works, and it looks visually kind of appealing sometimes. I mean, Elmo himself looks pretty good. Like, the scuba thing looks really interesting.
Yeah.
I can't complain about the graphics. They're actually not too bad.
Yeah. I think they could have done more. That's my disappointment with it is that I think they could have made it either it's more characters or whatever. I think they could have maybe done more. I know it's not that easy. And you don't want to like flood the screen with a bunch of stuff if really you're supposed to be focusing on the letters and numbers, but I agree. I think that like the character models at least look pretty decent. Like, why not? I don't know. Get some more lighting in there or something. I don't know. Whatever. But anyways.
Yeah, they definitely could have done more, but
yeah.
So you play through a mini game, and they're fine.
You sound so excited.
In the letter adventure, it's just walk. It's basically just move around, grab a letter.
You essentially will be in an environment, whether you're scuba diving, which you might be seeing on YouTube version of the show, of the episode right now, or you're walking in a garden or somewhere else. I can't remember where else.
Grover's is in space.
In space, right. So,
and actually, that's pretty cool.
It actually does look kind of cool. Yeah, I'll pop that up in a sec. But you are like just moving. There's no looking up, looking down. There's no vertical to the game whatsoever. It's just walk with the joystick and press one of the face buttons, like you said. All you have to do is be in the vicinity of the letters. You press those buttons, and depending on what difficulty you play, you either collect, I think it's like 5, 7, or 10 letters.
Yeah.
Or some are close to that. And you have less opportunity to fail and pick the wrong letter is really what the difficulty is. So there's an easy, medium, and hard. That's it. That's really the difficulty. For us, not such a big deal. I can understand why for kids it's a basic setup. So
yeah, so just like piggybacking off of that, I just felt like I needed to describe the gameplay before I gave what happened and how I experienced it.
Yep.
But I went into this immediately. I'm like, well, I'm going to put this on hard because it's an educational game, like whatever.
Me too.
And I went in and I walked in the garden and I was like, will this ever end? And it just kept going and it just took forever. And then I beat it, and then it tells you to press one of the face. You have to wait for it to finish what it's saying. And it says, press, if you want to play again, press one of the face buttons that are highlighted here. And then it pops up the controller with the buttons, right? And then you wait a little bit, and then it says, if you want to go back to Sesame Street, press the start button.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I pressed the start button. By the way, I failed intentionally to see what would happen if I failed. And Elmo, it just ends, and you can just go back to Sesame Street again.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But I didn't fail.
I'm such a good speller. I didn't fail.
I went through and I did the first row on hard, like you see. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You got to get 10 letters for each row. So essentially what happens is you play the minigame and then it gives you the option to play again. What it doesn't tell you is if you play again, you actually get a different stage
with
that character.
Yeah.
So each character has two stages. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I played one stage and I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that again. And then I left and then I went and did another character to see what the difference was. And they were all similar but different. Grover's, I think Big Bird's in this particular one was the worst because it was just slow walking and then you kind of smack a number or smack a letter, I mean.
Yeah.
Grover, you get in a little Mars rover and you're on the moon or something and you're
like
riding around, and that's what reminded me of Power Rangers for sure.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yeah, because I was riding and I was like, wow, the environment kind of looks exactly like Power Rangers.
Yeah, it's the one where you're sort of like walking around in like the space area.
Yeah, and you're just in a vehicle too. Yeah. So it's like, oh man, it's like double whammy.
Yeah. And also for me, the Power Rangers reminder is that, like, sadly, this is another knock against the Power Rangers game, is that this game is just as complicated, if not more so, because in this game, at least you have to press another button to survive some of those stages. In this game, or in Power Rangers, you could get through some of the levels without pressing any buttons. In this, you at least have to press A or B to select something.
Yeah.
So.
And you could do, yeah, for sure. And it requires a little bit of thought.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're of the age that it's meant for. Yeah.
It's just so
simple.
So meh, but it's simple. It works. It works for what it does. And the second iteration of minigames tend to be better, I would say.
Yeah.
The second rover one is like you're actually on a rocket, like flying in space, and it's all colorful. It's like Rainbow Road.
That's exactly cool. What I was like. This is Rainbow Road. It would be kind of cool if, like, it made you follow the path. You can actually just kind of cut through everything. Because essentially, one of them is, like, usually a very narrow hallway sort of thing. So, like, the one that we're watching right now, which is the one on the moon with the rover, you just have walls around you and then letters in different areas, left, right. Maybe it's just off to the side or something like that. But really, you have no control over the camera. It's always just behind you. So as long as you're looking in the general direction of where the letter is or number that you're looking for, you're gonna find it.
The camera worked really well.
It was totally fine. You could see everything at all times. It was never caught on anything. Like the fact that it doesn't need to be controlled is actually totally fine, because it just adds to what you need to focus on. If you're a kid of this age that you need this for, look for the letters, look for the numbers.
Yeah.
That's it, right? You don't have to worry about these other things. It feels maybe a little bit disappointing as like an adult, because you're like, oh, I wish I could do more, but then I kept telling myself, well, this isn't meant for me, you know, and that's okay.
Exactly.
And that's totally okay. So I think it succeeds in that it actually just gets the job done, you know?
Yeah, it gets the job done. It's a kid's game. It's an educational game. So I don't know what to expect out of it. But I will say there's one thing, like I was satisfied as far as like checking my boxes, like graphics are decent. Like, look at this environment. This is a very interesting environment. I think if all the worlds had that level of care, it would look really cool.
Yeah, this is the, if anyone's not watching, it's the space one that we were just talking about that reminds us a little bit of Rainbow Road. There's planets in the background. There's stars coming across the screen. The road, like we said, looks a little bit like Rainbow Road. You're driving a spaceship that has like stuff flying out of the back of it and stuff. It's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. And it's checking, you know, quite a few boxes. I don't remember the music. It wasn't anything memorable, but it certainly wasn't bad when
why don't we listen to it for just a second? Let's see. Because not all of it is Sesame Street music. Some of it is just sort of like stuff that was created for this, or like maybe it is recognizable. Ambient. So yeah, let's see.
Yeah. Yeah, when you finished it, it's good. And it's got the voice acting, which is cool.
Every character is voiced by the people that voice the characters in the show, which is great. You know, that everyone was on board to do this. So technically, this game is fully voice acted, which you can't say for a lot of games.
The only thing about it, and it's only in letter adventure, letter journey, whatever it is. It's because they're the same, but one's about numbers and one's a journey and the other one's about letters and the other one's adventure. Right?
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'm confused too.
Sometimes I would, so you go up to a character, you initially start out on Sesame Street. You have to walk up to a character and you stand in front of them. And then the dialogue just kind of starts after you stand there for a couple seconds. What happened to me was the characters started moving and animated and were clearly saying something, but I heard nothing.
Oh, interesting.
And then Elmo would respond with what, like in response to what they said. So like, for example, he would go up to Ernie and then he's like, it's quiet. And then Elmo goes, see the carnival.
Oh, interesting. Like, okay.
I didn't run into that more than once.
Okay. I didn't run into that. Yeah. That's interesting.
It only happened in letter, whatever.
Oh, in letter, whatever. Yeah.
Whatever.
There's, here. Okay. So that reminds me, this is a note that I put in. One of the known, I guess it's probably a bug, I guess you could call it, is that in Letter Adventure, on Sesame Street, there's no music. It's just not, in it. But in Number Journey, it is in there. So that could be part of it. Maybe it's a related bug in the game of that. So like you go walk through Sesame Street, like you said, there's a little bit of background music in the number one, but on Letter Adventure, it's just not there. You just hear sound of like street noise and some kids in the background and stuff like that, which also I think is a little nice little added feature. It's not just like dead air, you know, like even if there wasn't music, at least you got something. It feels like you're actually quote unquote, you know, in Sesame Street or on the street.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice little added touch. It's not necessary, but it's there. So, yeah. So that's interesting. I didn't run into any of that. Maybe it's related. I don't know, because it was in the same game. I don't know. And then I think, I mean, the gameplay is the same pretty much across both, like you said. Like it's really just the same game. You just have numbers or letters, and that's kind of it. I would say though that
let me mention, because they have two distinct bonus stages.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yes, that's a big difference.
And in the letter one, it's you have to like walk target to target looking for the letter for to complete the word. So like for example, they show orc, ORK, and they say complete the word, and then you have to walk to the target that has an F on it.
Yeah.
And complete it. And then flip-flop, I guess we just move over to Number Journey, right?
Yeah, move over to Number,
Move over to Number Journey, which is the better one.
It's so cool. Better. Okay, this one I definitely have to play the sound for, because there's one particular sound bite that he has. I don't know if it's going to pop up here. So he throw. Okay, so let's describe what it is first, and then I will find the sound. So what is it?
The bonus game?
Yeah, the bonus game for the number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the bonus game for the number one is it pops up a number and it says 5 and then or math, I guess, and it just says like throw a certain amount into the mouth of this thing.
Yeah.
And you just go to the basket and you throw Mario. Elmo throws baseballs into the mouth of this creature.
Like a carnival game.
Yeah, it's a little carnival, but it's not, you don't target, you don't anything, you just tap A.
Yep.
And you can't like hold it or multi-tap. It's literally just like he throws one at a time. It's very slow.
It's slow, but he has something to say in between, right? So.
And then when you're done, you ring the bell.
The bell.
He does have something to say in between.
So that's funny. What I wanted to play is like, let's see if he says it in this first section here. Hold on.
To get a ball, go to the bucket and press one of the option buttons.
Okay. Yeah.
Ring the bell when you have the right number. If you want to take back a ball, honk the horn.
Yeah, good tune, right?
3 + 1. So, Elmo needs how many balls?
Then you throw the amount of balls, but then he says something every time you throw it.
Goal.
Oh, I returned that one for some reason. I don't know why.
You didn't know the mechanic yet.
I didn't know, yeah.
From downtown!
There it is, from downtown!
No! Yeah, I did say that quite a bit.
Swish!
Swish!
So, anyways, I thought that was... I thought that was charming. I was like, that's cool. That's, you know,
is it,
you know, making or breaking this game at all? No, it's not.
No.
But at least it's different. At least, I mean, I guess it has to be different, but instead of putting the letter at the beginning, you're just doing 3+1, 3+1, throw 4 balls in, and then the number changes. And I think it depends on what difficulty you are. It may change how, like, what words you get and then what number you have to add up to. I don't know for sure, but.
So the reason why I was thrown off that yours had math, mine did not, because I played this on easy.
Okay, so I did medium for most of the playthrough of it.
Yeah, I did hard initially in the letter one, but it just took forever. So I was like, I don't need to do this. I'm just going to do easy. So I did easy. So I just had a number. It just said 4. And so I just had to throw 4 in and count to 4.
Okay.
But so that's an interesting. That's why I was like, I don't remember doing math, but that's probably why.
Yeah. Yeah. So mine was just like a simple addition.
So now flipping the script, this is the best mini game in the game.
The two
Cookie Monster ones, both of them are the best ones.
They
in
are
the, game.
The best ones. So I wanted to point these out too, because first Cookie Monster starts with you riding up a river of chocolate, which is hilarious. And also
I'm wearing my Conker shirt. It's not poo though.
It's not it's not poo. And Conker, it would be cool if Conker showed up. But you're basically just instead of going down, like just walking through the
collaboration, I didn't know I wanted.
Oh my god, could you imagine? He like you pick a number, and Elmo's just like, it smells like shit. Damn it, Cookie Monster!
It's Sesame Street. They're all going down, and then all of a sudden, you whip out a couple AKs and eat lead, mother buzzer.
I mean, let's do it. I would play.
Conker's just smoking a cigar with Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah. If anyone's going to do it, it's going to be him, right? For sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this one is still. So the first one, we're on like a jet ski. Basically, looks like one of the Wave Race vehicles. And you're just going and collecting the numbers, but at least it looks kind of interesting. I think it looks kind of cool.
It's fast though. Like you move pretty fast, and it's cool. You go over the little jumps and he does the little handstand.
I totally did not expect any kind of movement or reaction or what, or anything from Elmo. And then you go to the snow level and you're snowboarding and he literally does like grabs and flips and he's stuff.
Doing little tricks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome.
And you're not, you're not doing anything. You're just still pressing forward. It's still basically doing the speed and everything for you, like it does in the other levels. But like, at least there's some sort of interaction, so to speak, I guess you could call it. Makes it more interesting. It was much more fun just for those reasons, I think. So I agree. These were the best ones.
Yeah, they're fun. They're fast. They're, you know, simple and they work.
Yeah.
But the rest are basically just little walking things, hit the target. I mean, that's it for the rest. But I will say that I did like the count. In the number one, two, not the first one. So he goes, oh, let's go to my castle. Do you want to go to my castle? And I'm like, that sounds really creepy, but all right, I guess we will.
Sure, dude.
Elmo's like 3 or 4, whatever he is. He's a preschooler. He's little.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And this creepy old man invited him to his castle, his dark castle.
He's probably like 400 years old, not 4 years old. Yeah.
And we go to his garden first. And at first I was like, this is not his castle. And I was legitimately mad because I wanted to see the castle. I was like, this is stupid. And he's like, this is my garden. And I'm like, I don't give a crap about your garden, man. I want to go see your castle. But then, you know, you beat that first walking one. And then he does take you to his castle. And I was totally right. It was way more interesting. It was visually interesting to walk around his castle. And I kind of want to go back because when I was collecting all the numbers, I started hearing these clanking noises, right?
Ooh. Here, let's and hear it. Let's see if it...
Yeah, you like hear these clanking noises.
Hi.
Almost got it!
You hear the bats, but... You hear that? It's almost like a thundering noise.
Hi.
Okay, so I started hearing
that.
And then I turned a corner, and then there was like a pathway that led me down, and it turned. And I got the last number on that pathway, but I didn't get past it. So I wanted to know what was past it. I was like,
I didn't get past it either. I know exactly what you're talking about.
What if we find the torture chamber? Do you ever see the this is great for listeners. You got to look it up on YouTube. It's so funny. They took the count when he's singing about numbers and he's like, "I like to count the bats on the wall," right? He's just singing. They censor it every time he says what he's counting.
Oh.
So he's like, "I like to count the on the wall. I like to count the in the hall." And it's so funny. It just sounds suggestive.
Yeah, all you have to do is fantastic. Put that beep in there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny. So that's funny. Great.
But like that's the thing is like there's glimpses of like, yeah, that music sounded pretty good to me. The background, you know, like you said, the crashing of the lightning sort of thing, the bats. That's there. That's cool. You know, again, the focus isn't that in a game like this. It is get the kid from point A to point B, pick the number that it gives you or the letter, and that's what your focus is. And at least there's some small touches. You know, I think that, like, it's kind of strange how, like, when you're walking with Elmo, like, the way he is here that we're seeing, he's not even really moving. Like, his feet kind of just shuffle a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, Jiggy's doing a great dance. Please, everybody, please watch. It's great. He's going to do it again. that's all it is, right? So it's weird how like that's how he walks, but then you put him on a snowboard and the guy's doing like, you know, these huge tricks where he's doing grabs, like toe grabs and tail grabs, and he's spinning around doing a 360 and stuff. It's just, you know, it feels inconsistent, but I just kept telling myself like, whatever.
Well, I'm a professional snowboarder. But Elmo, not professional walker.
Elmo says. I just kept telling myself, like, it's fine. It's a kid's game. It doesn't need that depth or whatever, right? So ultimately, you know, does anyone need to play this game if you're older? No, I don't.
Stop. Yes.
Yes?
They
okay.
do.
Okay.
And they need to make this a drinking game.
Ooh.
And
okay.
I think that's the way to play it. And do it every time Elmo says Elmo. And you play like 15, 20 minutes of these games. A, you're going to beat it. But you'll be laughing so hard. It's just so silly.
I'm with you. There's something there. You can have silly, quick fun with this. Like, that's the other thing I was going to say is like, even whether you should play this game or whether you should experience these games or whatever, however you do it, it's like one of the games, I think the letter one is even shorter. I think it takes 20 minutes, half an hour. The other one, half an hour, 40 minutes. Like, in an hour, you can get through both of these if you don't play on hard. Just don't play on hard because it's not necessary. Because, like you said earlier,
it just takes longer.
That's really all it is. And then the mini game at the end for the letter one, at least, is just a different word, like a longer word, but you're still just picking one letter. It's not a huge difference. And it's not going to take a lot of your time. So it's okay that it exists. You know, I think it's good that things like this are out there for kids. I didn't know this existed. So I was like, you know what? This is nice. At least this is here.
It's cool for kids.
It's cool for kids.
That's the verdict.
That's
and all I have to say is it does make me want a 3D platformer fully going through Sesame Street. That would be sick.
Hopping over the buildings and stuff. And
yeah, it would be so much fun, right?
Yeah.
And you could have worlds like this where he's going in.
Yeah.
And it just seems really cool.
Yeah, there's ideas here. There's different environments. It's nothing fancy, but that's okay. It doesn't have to be. And Elmo's Letter Adventure and Number Journey. I think I got this right.
Sure.
That is the one.
The exact opposite.
Or the exact opposite. Either way, you'll find it. These two back-to-back games, if you don't have a ROM of them or a way to play them that way, you can find it for pretty cheap because they're just kids' games and stuff. But, you know, hey, having these things on hand when you have a kid that is, I don't know, 4 years old, that's picking up, 5 years old, however, whenever you're comfortable with them playing video games for the first time, this is a great starter. I think this is a really good, you know, they're learning their letters and numbers in early school. Why not? Why not let them just press forward and backwards on the joystick, press one button, they can get through it. You can sit with them if you have to, like, you know, if they need some help and stuff, but Nothing wrong with that. You know, I think that's pretty good. So that's about it. I don't know if we score these games. I don't know if there's like a way to score them because they're not really those types of games, but
well,
I guess
we can score them on a scale of edutainment.
Yeah, an edutainment scale. That's
an edutainment scale. Yeah. And we're going to make this scale up to the letter D.
Okay.
But it starts at 3. So
wait. Oh, it starts at 3 but ends at D? Is that what
we're taking a number journey into a letter adventure.
Yes. Okay. All right. Then I would
so it scores an X3 for me.
All right. I'm going to give it a W7.
That's high.
I don't know. Is it high? I have no idea.
Well, that's so high.
Is it? Okay.
That's about as close to D as you can get.
It's a low letter, so I don't know. It's an impromptu scale. I don't know how this shit works anymore. I like it, though. I like it. Little in-universe radiance scale. I like it.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Can it count?
Yeah. Well, we can now. We played this game. We can now. Okay, so count
three numbers. That's all you ever collect.
Yeah, that's true.
You know how to differentiate the number 3 from everything else, but you don't know what everything else is.
Although, if you do go back into the stages, they'll give you a different letter and a different number. It's not always exactly the same, but
that's funny. That was not my experience.
Oh, really? It was for me. Oh, yeah, interesting.
I got it was letter F for Big Bird. I left, came back, it was still letter F.
Oh, okay. But did you finish the stage though, or did you? Like, did you get all the letters before you exited?
I think I failed it first, okay. And then I left, and then I came back.
Yeah, so that's why. So
maybe that's why.
Yeah, so one time what I did was I didn't collect the last one, and the level, like, ended for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't remember why. And then I went back in.
There's end spots. There's, like, endings to each, like, pathway.
Yeah, if you get too far.
It doesn't go on forever.
Yeah. I think that...
It'll just end.
That's what happened with the count one. When you go down those, like, stairs, you go to the end. If you didn't catch them all, then you have to go back. That's what it is.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I did. So that's what happened with me with that one is I had the number 5. I went into that. I must have missed one or whatever. And then I went and talked to him again and went back in and it was the same number. And then I tried it on a different difficulty. And maybe that's part of it too. I went on like the easy difficulty or the hard one and it was a different number, even though the stages were the same. Yeah. So
I'd like to believe though that room, it doesn't end. It ends because you're not supposed to see it. But
yes.
It goes past, right? And then he does have a torture chamber.
Of course he
and
does.
Then every character that you don't see in this game from Sesame Street is in that torture chamber being tortured. And there you go. That's
sure.
How I will end.
That Snuffleupagus is down there 100%. Like, where else would he be? If he's not with Big Bird, they're besties. Yeah. Like, they're besties. Yeah. Where else would he be? Sure. So it is what it is. You know, hey, it's just the reality. We're just doing our part investigating and bringing kids' games to the forefront. So it's all good. We're doing the hard work. We did the homework, like I said. So, all right. So that'll do it for these games. It's good, quick, educational stuff for kids. And that's pretty much the gist of it. But Jiggy, where can everybody sort of keep track of all the awesome stuff? Because you got some pretty damn great videos in the last few weeks and honestly, few months.
Thank you. Yep. YouTube. Jiggy, look back. All one word. YouTube. You'll find me.
Jiggy look back. Lots of good stuff. Lots of stuff around Rare, Donkey Kong. Check it out, everybody. It's popping off, honestly. With or without this show, that stuff is popping off and it's great. So really, really good stuff. Remember 64 across the board on YouTube. Remember 64 show on all of the social media apps. I'm not going to name them all because they all seem to change names and it's honestly a pain in the ass. So although that description took just as long as mentioning all of them. So maybe I'll revise that next time. And then, of course, patreon.com/remember64show. You can find all of the episodes early, some extra content, and I'm also going to be adding some free stuff as well. Some videos and some write-ups about games that I've been playing that are not N64 related. Maybe some gaming news that I've been, you know, reading and writing about. All that kind of stuff. I'm just going to sort of start bolstering a little bit more on Patreon. It's going to kind of be like a one-stop shop kind of thing. So
the pre-show chats were pretty good. I got into the Patreon and I was a little vain. I was listening to myself because he told me about the pre-show chats No, he did not tell me about the pre-show chats.
I did the previous time, but not that time. Yeah, I forgot to.
Yes, and so I was like, wait, a pre-show chat? And I was like, this is me. And I was like, what did I say? And so I went back and like was listening, and it was just, it was great. It actually was awesome. We talked about that one. We talked about the Nintendo Power with the Donkey Kong 64.
Weird cover.
Yeah, weird cover that was like a misprint or something.
Yeah, something. Couldn't figure out what it was.
It was really cool. I talked a little bit about me playing Baldur's Gate 3, which is pretty funny with my friends.
How tall the Donkey Kong crew is, or short they are.
How tall the DK crew is. Yeah, that was pretty enlightening. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that pre-show chat was totally fun.
Yeah, and that stuff's available for at the lowest tier for Patreon and stuff. So that stuff we're gonna keep doing, and keep bolstering stuff on there. It's gonna be free and Patreon paid stuff. So a mix of everything. Gonna be a good spot to kind of find a bunch of stuff. So
yeah, and you just put like a dollar down. Is that the minimum?
Yep.
Like you just put a dollar down. You pay a dollar a month. It helps support the show. It helps support Dave. We can do cool stuff, raise production value, get other guests on, like. Just go support. It just shows support. And hey, even if you don't want to do that, that's cool. But share it.
Yeah.
Right? Sharing it is caring.
Sharing it is carrying it.
Sharing it is carrying it. And Elmo tells you to share it.
Doesn't he? He always. He's such a nice guy. He's so nice. Support us. Support Elmo. Sesame Street is awesome. All right, everybody. Jiggy, thanks for coming along this adventure and this journey. There we go. Which one is which? I always forget again, even though we've been talking about it for a while. Other than that, everyone, thanks so much for listening. Jiggy, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on Remember 64. Ciao, everyone.